This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this inaugural Eve edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, the district is prepared for something that has occurred only 44 times, the peaceful transfer of power from one president to another. Mississippi Congressman Greg Harper joins me with what we can expect tomorrow. And earlier today, I joined Christian leaders from across the nation just down the street from our FRC headquarters at Greater New Hope Baptist Church for a special inauguration prayer event. Pastor of Gateway Church in Dallas, Texas, Robert Morris, was there, and he joins me later to discuss what Bible-believing Christians should be willing to do to restore America's vital freedoms. Also, on the eve of this historic inauguration, the issues that brought about this sea change election must not get lost in the euphoria of political victory. Jonathan Gardner from New Mexico, who served on the GOP platform committee, joins me for that discussion. The website is tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. A little bit later, we're going to go to the phone lines, 866-372-7234. Jot that number down, and we'll get to those calls a little bit later. All right, President-elect Donald Trump is in Washington, D.C. to officially start his inauguration festivities. Earlier today, he was with Vice President Mike Pence. They laid a wreath. This evening, they will be at another series of events, including a dinner with donors tonight that helped underwrite the inaugural events. Here to discuss the mood and the events that will take place tomorrow is Chairman Greg Harper of Mississippi. He's currently serving his fourth term in the U.S. House of Representatives after having been elected to Congress first back in November 2008. He is the chairman of the Committee on House Administration, also serves on the Energy and Commerce Committee. Greg, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thank you, Tony, and what an exciting time to be in Washington, D.C., and you can just see the anticipation on people's faces and a long line to get into the House and Senate offices buildings in order to pick up inauguration tickets for tomorrow, and everyone wanting those coveted seated tickets, which, as you know, are very, very hard to get. So we're very excited about what's happening. And look, there's been so much negative talk that's been going on, and that's a shame because that's not what the feeling is on the ground and the people that are here to celebrate this historic peaceful transfer of power. And I know I checked in just a little while ago, Tony, and they're keeping the doors open to these entrances longer than expected because the lines are longer than expected. So I think it's a great day in America.
Well, Greg, I know that you are a student of history because you and I have actually gone to the National Archives building before and looked at some of those historical records. How significant is this, that this event that we will witness tomorrow, this transfer of power?
You know, Tony, it's just a remarkable event. And I tell people, whether you're a Republican or Democrat or independent or don't really care which party you affiliate with, if you have the opportunity to go to a presidential inauguration, Republican or Democrat, you should go because it's such a great part of the fabric of our history. And you think back to Washington taking the very first oath of office, which he did in New York, and then his second one in Philadelphia, and then we moved into Washington, D.C. And so these things are just a part of our history, and people always remember when they come to these. And look, there's great reason for hope of what's going to happen these next 4 years. And, you know, as you said, you know, it's not just about the excitement of this. It is about the work that has to be done while the work can be done.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that in a moment because Congress very much in the process of rolling up their sleeves to dive in as soon as the president is sworn in. Folks, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, broadcasting from Washington, D.C., and Greg Harper, congressman from Mississippi, my guest. Today Donald Trump attended a luncheon, leadership luncheon with transition officials and incoming staff at the Trump Hotel. As I mentioned earlier, he accompanied Vice President-elect Mike Pence at a wreath-laying ceremony at the Arlington National Cemetery. There's a couple of events tonight. Tell our listeners what they can expect to take place here in Washington tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow morning we'll start bright and early. People will be making their plans to come in either on foot or in some type of transportation, probably the metro, and getting in position to your seats if you have a seat or standing. You'll be fighting big crowds, but that's part of the excitement of it. And so that will begin with preliminary stuff about 11:30 in the morning Eastern time. And then the actual formal part will start at noon, and shortly thereafter, President Donald Trump will take the oath of office, and Mike Pence, the oath is the vice president. There's a leadership lunch inviting guests to the president and vice president that occurs in Statuary Hall immediately following that, which is where the House met until 1857, and also the room where many past presidents had taken the oath of office, beginning with Madison and forward. And so that's a historic place there. There's a parade. And, of course, there are, I believe, three inaugural balls that are very big that the president and first lady and vice president and his wife will attend. It will be an exhausting day, but one that people will never forget.
It will be. There's a long list of activities, and in fact, the Family Research Council, joining with a number of other evangelical organizations, will be having the Faith, Freedom, and Future Ball. That'll be taking place. In fact, folks, if you want to catch that, we've got a great lineup of entertainment and some special guests that may be dropping by. You can watch that live on Facebook tomorrow night, beginning at about 8 o'clock Eastern time. So let's talk, Congressman Harper, now about after the inauguration, after the president takes office. I know we've got a lot of festivities, but there's work that's going to be done as well.
That's right, and the work will really begin on the Senate side the afternoon, tomorrow afternoon, when we believe they'll vote on the confirmation of a number of his appointments to the administration and cabinet, including people like Mike Pompeo, expect that tomorrow, who will be the new CIA director. And then the Senate will move quickly, I believe, to try to do those things that need to be done to confirm the cabinet. It's pretty clear that the Democrats have tried to stonewall, but they can't stop any of these, in my opinion. All they can do is maybe delay by a day or two. But that helps get us off to a good start. We have our lineup of things on the House to continue with the budget, with the replacement for Obamacare and how we handle that. And one of the greatest things for us and the frustration we've had has been the regulatory burden that the Obama administration has placed on us, Tony, for these last 8 years, which has been just had a profoundly negative impact on businesses and on people. Now with new people heading up these various agencies, you're going to get some regulatory relief, and I think we'll be, all pulling and pushing in the same direction, which is going to be a breath of fresh air.
Now, these first 100 days, you hear a lot about the first 100 days, first 6 months. How important are those that block of time, that first period of 100 days, how important is that to the overall agenda of the Trump administration?
Well, I think psychologically and practically, it sets the tone for what's going to happen over the next 4 years. And so you want to make sure that you don't hurt yourself in the process, that you move forward. You know, not everything's going to happen in the first day, the first 10 days, first 30. But there's so much that can happen in that first 100 days that will determine, I think, the direction of our country for much longer than these 4 years. So those are very important things. And you look, too, Tony, at what is happening right now. We know that President-elect, soon-to-be President Donald Trump, has over 100 federal judicial appointments that he's going to be able to make.
Right.
And that, I try not to get too excited about it, Tony, but you can imagine what we could do for the country and for our children and grandchildren and future great-great-grandchildren or whatever, if you had 8 years of Trump and 8 years of Mike Pence, it would completely transform our country.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Greg, the courts have become such a key player in deciding policy in our country, so much more than the founders ever envisioned, and that's why they've become so important in the outcome of these elections, because these judges are deciding so many things.
And Tony, you're so right, and the country is not a left-leaning country, but the administration, by way of appointments to the bench, and by controlling certainly these last 8 years, the administrative agencies accomplishes things that should be done legislatively that we would never pass. And they do things that bypass that. And I think we've created an imbalance of what should be co-equal branches of government. And it's incumbent upon Congress to claw that back and get that balance where it should be.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Greg Harper, congressman from Mississippi, my guest, talking about tomorrow's activities and then the work that begins after Donald Trump becomes president, Mike Pence vice president. Let me just ask you this from a standpoint of going back again to tomorrow's activities. I know there's been some protests that have been threatened. Are you anticipating that there's going to be any protests surrounding the inaugural festivities tomorrow?
I'm sure there'll be protests. The level of those is still yet to be determined. And I'll go back to this summer when we had the convention in Cleveland, and there was great concern about many, many protests, and it just kind of fizzled out. There really, we saw very few in that area, and I know there's a lot of talk about it. But if you can go find the video of the Trump supporters that are the bikers for Trump coming in on their motorcycles. I watched an overwhelming number coming in that are there, I think, to kind of be counter-protesters in support of Trump and against some of the crazy left-wingers that are going to be out there. And so you worry about security. You don't take anything for granted. I've certainly met on the Capitol complex itself. I've had meetings with the sergeant-at-arms and with the Capitol Police. I'm confident that they've got the people and resources in place to see that it's secure, and I'm informed that the metro system is safe. And so you don't take anything for granted. You always have situational awareness of what's going on around you. But I think it'll be a very special day, and the men and women are there to provide that security are exceptional.
Well, it's going to be an exciting day, and of course, even more so what comes afterwards. Greg Harper, thanks so much for joining us today. Great to talk with you.
Hey, Tony, always a pleasure, and thanks for what you do to keep folks informed and staying in the fight.
All right, thank you. Congressman Greg Harper of Mississippi. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, coming up next, we'll revisit the impact that evangelicals had on the 2016 presidential election. But more importantly, what do Bible-believing Christians need to be doing now going forward? We'll talk with Pastor Robert Morris of Gateway Church in Dallas next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with more right after this.
Hey, do you want to go on a vacation with a purpose? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. A lot of people love to go to the beach. I'm one of them. How about the mountains? Yeah, a lot of folks are raising their hand right now when I say the mountains. Well, this year, why don't you go with us on a spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and have a vacation with an educational and a spiritual purpose? If you'd like to go with us in June or September to D.C. and Mount Vernon, or our separate tour to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, we'd love to have you join us. Just find out all the information at spiritualheritagetours.com. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will join us as our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way on our rich Christian heritage here in the U.S. We hope you can join us, spiritualheritagetours.com.
We've always had an interest. God has given us a gift of being able to help a lot of people with their finances and budgets and stuff.
AFA supporters Bernie and Alice Larson met Dan Celia at a Faith, Family, and Finance town hall meeting.
And he answered some questions, and we were thinking about the charitable gift annuities, and we'd never heard of that before, but we thought, well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how. And we felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
Bernie and Alice learned a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation would provide them with a monthly income for life, as well as supporting the American Family Association into the future. You can learn more about charitable gift annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
And you just can't outgive God.
And now, a moment in history from Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation.
The founders of America believed that Christianity is the source of liberty. Not just personal liberty and religious liberty, but all liberty. Political liberty, civil liberty, economic liberty are a product of the Christian faith. The father of American geography, Jedediah Morris, said, "To the kindly influence of Christianity, we owe that degree of civil freedom and political and social happiness which mankind now enjoys." Signer of the Declaration, Benjamin Rush, stated, "Christianity is the only true and perfect religion, and that in proportion as mankind adopts its principles and obeys its precepts, they will be wise and happy." If we want to be free today, we must adopt the principles of the Christian faith and obey its precepts.
To learn more about the Founding Fathers, visit our website, providencefoundation.com.
To Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad you're joining us on this Thursday afternoon, the eve before the inauguration of Donald Trump as the 45th president of the United States. You know, evangelical voters turned out in record numbers for the presidential election this past November. About 26% of voters were identified as evangelicals, and 81% of them voting for Donald Trump. That was a record number. No question they played a key role in the outcome of this election, but what should they be doing going forward? Well, Robert Morris is the founding and senior pastor of Gateway Church in Dallas, Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth, the Metroplex. And since it began in 2000, the church has grown to more than 36,000 active members. Pastor Morris also serves on President-elect Trump's Evangelical Advisory Board. And we welcome him now to the program. Robert, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I'm glad to be with you.
Now, earlier today, we were at a inauguration prayer event just down the street from FRC. We had Christian leaders from across the country coming together to pray for the president, pray for the country. Clearly, there is a mood of, I would say, hopefulness, encouragement, going into this inauguration on behalf of Christians across the country.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing. In 2008 and 2012, I was very much involved in trying to get evangelicals to come together to pray for our country, to vote, to be involved. And there's no comparison to what happened this year. And I was thinking today at that prayer meeting, God, you did this, because finally there seems to be some unity coming in the body of Christ. Yes, concern for our nation, but not just concern for the political direction, but concern for the spiritual direction. And that's what I heard even more of today, is that we were praying for our nation, praying for our leaders, like it says in Romans and Timothy to do. And man, it was just powerful today to see evangelicals from all walks coming together to pray for our country.
And Pastor Morris, there's a sense, at least what I came away with, is that there's an understanding that God did this. You're right. This was birthed, I think, in prayer, that God has extended a reprieve, if you will, to this nation. But there's still a lot that has to be done that must be sustained by prayer, but requires that each of us, not just looking to government, but looking to our own lives, to our own communities and our churches, to make the difference that needs to take place in this country.
Yeah, there's the two, you know, like James says, faith and works. There's the faith end of it, and the faith end of it to me is that I really believe that my prayers are going past the ceiling, that God, for some reason, designed the earth for us to cooperate with him, and we cooperate it through that, those two ways, faith and works. In other words, we cooperate through prayer and praying for our neighbor to get come to Christ, but we also cooperate by getting to know our neighbor becoming a friend and being kind and showing him or her Christ, and then also sharing with him about the gospel. So I think that's where we are now. We've got to pray for our nation, but then we've also got a job to do.
So, Pastor Morris, what are your expectations? What are you hopeful that we will see coming out of Washington, D.C., that will have an impact on communities across the nation in the days ahead?
Well, I'm hopeful that we'll see some backtracking of this anti-Christian sentiment that's come out of our nation in the past many years. You know, I mean, we could go back a long way, but back to even coming against prayer in schools, or prayer at all, or scripture on government property, or nativity scene, and, of course, abortion, and then the issues of marriages that have come forth. So I want to see a lot of that change, because I don't think that policy obviously represents scriptural views, so I want to see those things on Washington changed and reversed. But then I want to emphasize to believers, we're still in a war. Satan's not just going to give up and lie down and say, okay, you guys have won. I think he's going to come every which way he can, and we need to understand how powerful we are when we come together and pray. And I think there's no doubt evangelicals made a huge difference in this election. And you don't hear it much in the media, because I think most people who are against evangelicals don't want us to know that we can make a difference if we come together. And we didn't just make a difference in voting. We can make a difference in prayer and in action also.
No question about that. The exit polling makes it very clear that evangelicals played a key role in this election outcome. It is interesting that within a couple of days that narrative was dropped from the media, and I do think that is in part what you pointed out is the motivation, that if we continue in that strain or vein of unity, advocating for those core freedoms, and not looking for government to solve our problems, but asking government to protect our freedoms so that we in our local communities and our churches can solve the problems, that is a powerful dynamic. And I don't think the left wants that to be realized by us.
No, they don't at all. That Satan doesn't want, and I'm not saying calling the left now Satan, but I'm going back to that spiritual force,
right,
that the enemy's trying to do. Yeah. He doesn't want us to know the power that we have if we come together. He doesn't want us to understand the power of prayer and the power of unity. And I think, though, we got a glimpse of it in this election, that, wow, we can make a difference if we quit fighting and we quit saying, you know, we weren't electing a national pastor. I shared that with our church. We were electing a political leader, and we had two choices. So you have to vote for the person that you think will really do the least amount of damage. You'd love to vote for the person that will do the most good, but sometimes we don't even have that choice. And we have to make a choice as Christians. We have to be involved. We have to let our voice be heard. We have to pray. And then we have to do exactly what we did, and that's vote.
Absolutely. Pastor Robert Morris, thank you so much for joining us. And I want to thank you for letting your voice be heard across the country in terms of the Christian responsibility to be engaged in the world around us. Thanks so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Tony, and thank you all for all you're doing as well.
All right, Pastor Robert Morris. By the way, Gateway is one of our partners in the Faith, Freedom, and Future Ball that we'll be doing tomorrow night. Again, you can catch that on Facebook Live beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow night. All right, this election, in many ways, turned from personalities to policies. We're going to talk about that next with Jonathan Gardner, who is a member of the Platform Committee at the GOP Convention. convention in Cleveland this summer. We're going to talk about that and its impact going forward. Don't go away.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Well, the U.S. dollar gained a little strength on Janet Yellen's hawkish comments this week, but looks like it's beginning to weaken again. Gold is continuing to get clobbered. I think the big news is going to be OPEC. Very, very interesting as we watch oil. Oil continues to be volatile, and it looks like it's in for some more volatility. This time, a lot of the volatility is going to be on the downside. There's a headline out there that says OPEC cuts could backfire as rivals step up to the plate. You know, what it means is the Paris-based International Energy Agency is saying that there is a possibility, and OPEC is concerned, that the cuts that the cartel has promised, 1.2 million barrels a day, is in fact not going to be cuts at all. Because those non-OPEC nations, Russia being one of them, is going to pick up the slack of the 1.2 million barrels a day that are being cut. Therefore, the cuts not having any impact other than OPEC losing more market share. Now, it's interesting that that comes out because the very day the cuts were announced, I said exactly this. I said this was going to happen. I said that the traders, the speculators out there on oil are extremely naive to believe that these production cuts are going to be able to stay in place since it's going to be an opportunity for the non-OPEC players to participate in gaining a little bit of market share. One thing for certain is OPEC will not stand by and watch market share be lost. So don't expect these cuts to stay intact. Oil prices could be going down.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Now, some wonder if party platforms matter in presidential elections. I mean, is it just, just a bunch of paper, a bunch of words on paper? Well, this election started out as a personality-driven election. But it turned. And now there's no doubt that the dramatic policy differences between the Democratic and the Republican Party platforms played a major role in the outcome of the 2016 election. In fact, a poll, post-election poll, showed that 59% of Trump-Pence voters, major factor in their decision, was the Republican Party's platform on the issue of life and religious liberty. That is huge. Joining me now to discuss this, Jonathan Gardner of New Mexico. He was a member of the platform committee along with me. Jonathan, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good evening, Mr. Perkins. Pleasure to be with you.
Sorry I missed you today. I know you passed by FRC, and it was good to hear you come by and for our open house. And I just want to take just a moment and focus on this platform, because this was a very significant document, as it's turned out. It was really a driver for many social conservatives, helping them decide who they were going to vote for. Your sense of how important that document should be going forward for both the administration and the Congress?
Well, it should be quite important for both the administration and the Congress. What the platform did was communicate to the American people that this election was about much more than just personalities. It was also about values. And it laid out a very stark and competing vision of values compared with the values that Hillary Clinton was running on. And now that the voters have spoken and they have awarded Mr. Trump and they have awarded Congress power based on those values, as you just said, 59% saying that a major factor in their decision to vote for the president, Mr. Trump, was the Republican Party platform stance. It's important from a commitment standpoint. I was at an event back in July at the Republican National Convention, and Phyllis Schlafly basically threw her support behind Donald Trump after he had committed to her that he was going to support the party platform. so there are a lot of people that have now been handed power based on the party platform, and with that comes responsibility now to follow through on it. So when you look at the numbers for Congress in particular, the American people as a whole are not happy with Congress as an institution. And it would definitely behoove them to follow through on the ideas contained within the Republican Party platform as a way of keeping faith with the people that put them in office.
Well, and historically, what makes this significant is that when you look over about 30 years of party platforms or so, about 80% of the time the parties do adhere to their platforms. So that's quite significant in that the Republicans have one of the most conservative in history, the Democrats having one of the most liberal in the history of their party. Jonathan, may I ask you this. Are you surprised about how prominent the platform became in this election?
Honestly, I am surprised at how important it turned out to be. Maybe it shouldn't have been that way within my own family. My mother has flat out said she voted for Mr. Trump because of the Republican platform. And there were millions of other people who are thinking the same way she did. The sense that I had, and this is, you know, of course, me coming from my experience, the platform is put together as part of the convention process, and then you tend not to hear about it for essentially the rest of the election cycle or even the governing cycle. And this year, thankfully, as you said, this is one of the most conservative platforms ever. And it did become part of the electoral cycle. There were people that were basing their voting decision on the platform, which, you know, I haven't necessarily seen in other election cycles. So it was surprising, but if I may say so, a very pleasant surprise. There's a very high-quality, high-caliber group of people that came together in Cleveland to put together the platform, and that's why it's as good as it is.
Well, and you made several very good amendments and your contribution to the platform very, very helpful in making sure that it is a solid document. And I think it's a way, Jonathan, that now citizens can hold the party accountable and Congress, the administration, accountable to that, because this is the roadmap forward on so many issues.
And it's the roadmap forward on so many issues. It's also the statement of official party policy on so many issues. You don't have the same thing as you had back in the 90s with Newt Gingrich in a contract with America, where Congress was saying, these are what we commit to you, the American people, that we will do. But you do have a strong statement of policy and a strong statement of values that the American people can now take to Republicans in Congress and actually at all levels of government,
right,
and say, look, your party says you support this. The party says you're supporting life. What are you doing for life? The party says that you're supporting marriage between a man and a woman. What are you doing to support marriage between a man and a woman? And that then gives a tool. That's really the harder step. Now you have a good statement of policy. The challenge now for us as involved citizens is to use that resource to demand accountability from our elected officials, so it becomes more than words on paper. It becomes good policy.
Absolutely. And we have our work cut out for us. Jonathan Gardner, thanks so much for joining us. And again, great work on that party platform.
Thank you. My privilege.
All right, Jonathan Gardner. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And you're going to hear a lot more about that party platform in the days ahead, because it is a benchmark. It's a standard. It's a way forward. It's what the Republicans adopted. And so now they need to govern by it. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines. It's Thursday. It's really Thankful Thursday. Take your calls when we return.
Marriages everywhere are in crisis. The divorce rate is sky high. What can turn things around? The key lies in what God has bestowed on mankind, incarnational attachment. Attachment is God's design for human relationships. It is the bonding process that God ordained for us from infancy and throughout our lives. Children who receive the tender gaze, physical affection, and consistent emotional presence of a parent will develop a settled confidence that bolsters them in life. Even during hard times, they are reassured in knowing, I am not alone. In adult life, they bring the security to their marriages in ways that minister strength, comfort, and healing to their spouses. In a profound lecture by Dr. Jesse Gill, discover more about embracing God's design for attachment for marriage and our Christian faith in ways that bring transformation and growth. Visit frc.org/events to view this lecture and many more.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Sandy Rios in the morning.
This is a time of madness. It really is. This is from the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. He said, evil attacks the weakest, denies truth and love, is defeated through Jesus Christ. And I just love that. Evil is defeated through Jesus Christ. And so let's not be afraid. And if you are afraid, then, you know, make yourself right with God.
Sandy Rios in the morning. Weekday mornings at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 1,790 families have had their homes rebuilt because of you, the listener at American Family Radio, when you have partnered with 8 Days of Hope. We've been all over the country helping disaster victims to no fault of their own who lose everything to see volunteers show up and help them rebuild. 2 years ago, we started a rapid response division that goes within 72 hours and since then have gone to 15 communities across America. Would you consider becoming a part of 8 Days of Hope as we continue to look for ways to grow the ministry in 2017, please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Get Involved, submit your email address, and the next time we go anywhere with a disaster, we'll invite you to come along as well. Please continue to pray for the ministry as we look forward to what God has in store for us. Thank you so much for your prayers, your financial support, and volunteering with 8 Days of Hope.
AFR urges you to support the ministry of 8 Days of Hope at 8daysofhope.com.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The phone number, 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Thankful Thursday. Want to know, what are you thankful for on this Thursday afternoon as we stand at the point of watching the 45th President of the United States sworn in tomorrow? Let me just start. Let me tell you what I'm thankful for. I am thankful that God has heard our prayers, as I was talking with Pastor Morris about. Do not think that anything has been solved, but God has given us, I think, a reprieve. He's heard our prayers. He's been gracious enough to give us an opportunity to turn this nation back to Him. Now, that's not something that government can do. That's something that you and I have to do as we live out our faith in a real and authentic way, in such a way that it touches the lives of other people. That's at the core of religious freedom. That's what religious freedom is about, the ability to live your life by your faith. Now, it doesn't mean you have to have a faith. It doesn't mean you have to do that, but it means you can. It means that you can take your faith into the workplace. It means you can take your faith in the public square. It means you can take your faith anywhere and everywhere. It means that you can raise your children according to the dictates of your faith as a Christian. Now, some would say, well, but, you know, you got all these other faiths. You know what? I'm not afraid of a lie. I'm not afraid of deception. What I want to make sure is that we can live according to those transcendent truths that are found in the Bible, and that we can raise our children by that. We can order our home by it. We can even run our businesses by that if we so choose. And that's what's been lost. Not just in the last 8 years, as Robert Morris made reference to. It's been under attack for quite some time. But we have seen it intensify. Here's what I'm thankful for. I believe we have an opportunity to repair the damage, to retake that ground. But it's not going to happen simply by government. We can't sit back and say, well, we won an election, and so all of it's going to be okay now. Government can't change the hearts and minds of people. Only the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that comes when you and I not just speak words, preach sermons, but we live it in such a way that people recognize it, that it's different, that it's powerful, that it's impactful. You see, it's the message of a life well lived. And that's what I'm thankful for. We can move back to having that opportunity once again. 866-372-7234. The phone lines are full, which indicates there are a lot of thankful people out there. Let's go to Alabama, where Becky is on the line. Becky, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I'm just rejoicing. I'm rejoicing, and I'm so thankful for our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for their intercessions for us, 24/7, perfect intercessions. And without them, not one step would have been made to bring this about. They are still interceding. They will intercede continually, 24/7, perfect intercession for this nation, for these people, but for other nations and those people too. And their great love for all of us, their great love and determination to see us through and to bless Israel. I am so thankful. I mean, I am so thankful that the leaders will have the mind of Christ. They won't think their own thoughts. They will think the thoughts of Christ.
Well, continue to pray. Continue to pray for them, Becky, and continue to be an informed and engaged citizen. That is absolutely the key. Becky, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. Let's go to Tennessee, where Dale is on the line. Dale, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. I'm so grateful for my Father in Heaven for answering the prayers. In fact, I sent a message to Melania Trump, and I said, the evangelicals were on their knees. I said, praying for this country. And I truly believe that it was God's providence that he was put in the White House. Now, things aren't going to be always easy, but we as Christians have to go out there and let people know that what is the value of a soul. And the other day, he could love me just one thing. The other day, I went to a restaurant and had some breakfast, and I wrote this little waitress a note. She was covered with tattoos, just a young girl. And I wrote this note on the back of the receipt and asked her if she would save it and put it in her purse. And it said, it's such a blessing when all individuals, such as yourself, with work ethic, and I'm so grateful that you served me. Life is not easy. In fact, at times, it is a struggle out there, and not all things go easy in life. But Jesus said that every hair on your head is numbered, and not a sparrow falls from the sky without his Father in Heaven knowing about it. How are we as finite creatures able to understand the infinite completely? And I said, that's why I live by faith in what I see. For every cause, there has to be an effect. For every effect, there has to be a cause. But God is the uncaused, first cause. Look at flowers, birds, trees, bees. Look at all these things when they're out someday. And ask yourself, did they just come about by chance?
You're absolutely right. And that is all, I mean, when you take just a moment, you think of all those things. There's a reason there in of itself to be thankful. But it's good, you know, I appreciate that, Dale, in terms of expressing our thanks for those that are around us that we interact with and engage. And that's a part of living out our faith. Now, people would say, well, how's that religious? You know what? We are to encourage others and to be free. And I hope we will be bold and courageous, loving and kind and compassionate in how we interact with others here in America. Dale, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. Let's go to Louisiana, where Dan is on the line. Dan, welcome to Washington Watch.
How you doing, Reverend Perkins? How you doing, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. Sorry I missed you the day. My minutes expired. But I wanted to say that I'm thankful for that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, no matter who's, you know, in charge of the government here. And I do have a question about Barack Obama's citizenship and eligibility, if you, if it's okay?
Well, you can ask it, but I tell you, I'm kind of stay focused on the thankful aspects, and I'm thankful that's no longer an issue, because I'm going to wave to him as he flies away tomorrow on Air Force, on the Marine One, as he's departing from the Capitol. I'll be waving.
Okay, I'll just ask you real quick, ma'am. Okay, my question is, as far as the citizenship, you know, I'm not sure, maybe some people have stated that his birth certificate is, has been forged or whatever. I'm not sure if he was born in the U.S. or not. But even if he was, about his natural, you have to be a natural born citizen according to the Constitution. And I heard that, or I read on something where his father was from Kenya, and he, so that would may have him, he have dual citizenship with the UK through Kenya and the USA. And would that disqualify him? Because that means he's not natural born, or I don't know.
No, that was the, I mean, I'm not going to go into all that, but that that has been thoroughly discussed. Whether or not it's true, I don't know. I haven't looked at the original documents, but he was born in Hawaii. So, again, it's maybe something that historians can explore and argue about. His 8 years is coming to a close tomorrow, and we can begin a new chapter. I will say that I think it those things matter. I mean, it's not, there's no benefit to discussing at this point. But, I mean, it does matter, Dan, and it's something that I think, you know, as people brought those up to discuss that at the very beginning, it's, you know, perfectly legitimate to discuss those issues. I mean, we are a nation that is governed by law, the rule of law, and that's something that's been woefully missing in the last 8 years. This has been one of the most lawless administrations in history. And it started from the very beginning, because they basically, anybody who raised those issues, they just blew them off. Again, I'm not weighing in with an opinion one way or the other. I'm just saying people have a right to ask. It's a significant issue. But now it's in the rearview mirror. Dan, thanks so much for listening. Appreciate you calling into Washington Watch. Let's go to Nebraska, where Lance is on the line. Lance, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Hey, great talking to you. I really appreciate you, Tony, and your ministry.
And, well, thank you, Lance.
I'm excited. I get to talk to you. But I am thankful for a lot of things. I, like you and many others, I'm very thankful for the election results, because I think we dodged the bullet as far as if Hillary would have been elected and just this continued you know, left-wing agenda that's been so destructive. In so many ways. So anyway, I'm very thankful for that. I really see that as an answer to prayer. You know, as you were saying, you know, just how God's given us a reprieve, and he's, I think, giving us an opportunity to see some things turned around in a good direction for our country and for our, you know, future generations. I have kids. And, you know, I mean, on one hand, as the gentleman who just said they called earlier, I trust God no matter who's in charge, because, you know, we're serving Jesus wherever we are. Doesn't matter right. What the government or who, but at the same time, you know, we have to be concerned for our, we want what's best for our country and for people. And so I'm really thankful for the election results and the opportunity. As we pray for Trump and his team, and as we all do our part in continuing to serve the Lord and, you know, being salt and light, I think, and you, Tony, and Washington Watch and other organizations, Franklin Graham, others, I'm just thankful for just how God, I believe, has answered our prayers in seeing things with this election. And I think I'm thankful and I'm hopeful that some good changes can happen in our country. So, yeah, I'm thankful for a lot of things.
Well, thank you, Lance. I appreciate you calling. Appreciate the kind words. And it prompted me to think of something as you were talking about how, you know, there's an opportunity here for the church in that, you know, even though whether we have good government, bad government, we're going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter. And I often hear, and I know that we see the church spreading in China and places where there is repression. And we, you know, people often just kind of are dismissive of you know, kind of anti-Christian policies that we're seeing in this country, saying, well, you know, the church grows under persecution, you know, in a very flippant way. When you see people, you know, overseas in other places losing their lives, they're not quite as flippant about that. But I was reading in Acts chapter 29 after Saul was persecuting the Christians. In fact, he was on his way to Damascus, and you know the encounter he had at Damascus with Jesus, and then Ananias coming to pray for him, and the scales falling off his eyes. And then it you know, goes on. In the end of that chapter, it talks about what took place in Judea, Samaria, in Galilee, in those parts of the region, that they were, in effect, as verse 31 of chapter 9 says, then the churches churches had rest through all Judea, Galilee, Samaria, and they were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and they multiplied. There was peace. The churches had peace, and as a result, they multiplied. You see, there is an opportunity, I believe, for us to not having the government pushing anti-Christian, anti-faith, anti-religious freedom policies. And there's a window here of freedom to multiply, to reach more people with the gospel, to take back territory that's been lost. But it's not going to happen unless we get up and we make that happen. Now, not to be operating just on our own, but to be operating under the guidance of Scripture, praying, seeking God, but getting up off our knees and acting. It's very much like Nehemiah. I've been preaching on Nehemiah this month. And you look at Nehemiah, began in prayer, a burden for his people, for Jerusalem. Throughout the whole book, every time he encounters opposition, he prays, but he persists, and he continues the process of building. And I believe that's exactly where we need to be today as we seek to rebuild the spiritual walls of this nation. There is a lot of work to be done, and there's going to be resistance. There's going to be all kinds of obstacles in the way. But we have to be prayerful, and we have to be persistent. And we've got to continue at the work that God has called us to. And that is, it's much bigger than any kind of political influence. It's much bigger than even a country. It's about God's kingdom. It's about reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, letting them know that they have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. The Father sent the Son so that you and I might have a relationship with our Creator. That's the message that we have to not only speak, but live. And that, again, is the essence of religious freedom. Jesus said, you'll love me if you keep my commandments. And when the government gets in the way of people keeping God's commandments, we've got a problem. It's an opportunity to restore that. Folks, thanks so much for being with us. Great to have you along today. Be praying for all the events tomorrow. I'll catch you up on Monday with all the things we were able to do in the next couple of days. Thanks so much for listening to Washington Watch. I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything that you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.